Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Our next guest is a practicing consultant obstetrician, and he was also Obstetrician of the Year in 2009 and in 2013. You might have heard him over the recent days because of the focus on maternal health care in pregnancy because of the upcoming referendum on abortion. He himself is in favour of retaining the Eighth Amendment. Interestingly, in today's Irish Independent, he writes, as he quotes one of his colleagues, Dr. Mary Holohan, who stated that the Eighth Amendment gives full freedom and support to intervene and to save women's lives where necessary. But another doctor, Dr. Rona O'Mahony, is quoted saying something very different, in fact, the opposite of that. So we're going to chat about some of those things today. In studio to tell us more, we have Dr. Trevor Hayes. Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good morning. How are
you? Tell us a little bit about you and the work that you do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I'm a consultant obstetrician, and I take care of mothers and babies, and it's a wonderful job. I came back from Scotland in 2006 and took up my consultant post in Kilkenny, and every day is a joy. I get up, even though maybe I have 4 or 5 hours sleep, but it's an excellent job. It's so rewarding. And there was a moment in time when I first saw a baby being born, and I knew that moment in time gave me a fixity of purpose. I'm going to be an obstetrician.
Every day, as you say, is a joy, Trevor, but I'm sure there are some days where there are very difficult situations that you have to deal with, and a lot of these difficult stories that we've been hearing about over the last number of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we have sometimes very complicated cases, and, you know, to be honest, I'm quite concerned about the unnecessary fears being created about the Irish health system and the threat to a mother's life doesn't have to be imminent before a doctor can intervene. And some of my colleagues have spoken out to decry misinformation that's prevalent in the referendum debate. And there have been unnecessary fears which have been raised.
What do you think is unnecessary about it? I mean, Rona Mahoney today, when you're talking about the risk to life, I suppose her argument today is, how does she decide what is a great enough risk? Is it 10%, 20%? How do you make those judgment calls, and does the Eighth Amendment tie your hands in that way?
Well, the Eighth Amendment has never prevented me or my colleagues from protecting a woman's life or her health. And I want to stress that Ireland is safe. Ireland's one of the best and safest places in the world for pregnant women. And, you know, doctors for the Yes campaign should stop scaring people. I am fully convinced Ireland is safe. We are joint sixth in the WHO. We have a mortality rate of 6.8 per 100,000, which is great, which is better than the UK and a lot, lot better than the US.
We're talking about risk to life there, but Dr. Rona O'Mahony said we're playing medical roulette with women's lives. And there's a lot of discussion, not about the risk to life, but the risk to health.
Well, I've never gambled with a woman's life. I've never lost a woman's life. I mean, I'm in day in, day out, every second day, out in clinical fires, whether it's hemorrhage or sepsis. I'm there with my midwifery colleagues, hand in hand, helping women deliver safely. And I don't see the Eighth Amendment as an impediment in any way. I don't believe I have to gamble. If a patient is sick, I bring her to a place of safety, which is usually next to the labour ward rooms itself. And we would get a multidisciplinary approach where I would ring my consultant, anaesthetist, microbiologist, paediatrician, and we would address the issue. And I don't have to Google the Eighth Amendment or worry about the sword of Damocles. I just have to save the patient and save her baby.
What about the argument, and some doctors have said it, that because the baby's life is equal to that of the mother, that sometimes puts the mother's care in jeopardy?
Well, we have a two-patient model. The mother comes first. You save the mother. I have never hesitated. I have never procrastinated. If a baby, unfortunately, loses its life because of medical intervention, I will do that. And I won't hesitate to do that. I can look myself in the mirror in the morning and realise I've done the right thing. My motives have been pure.
What about just going back to just the issue of health? So we're not talking about risks to life, but health in pregnancy, where there's complex situations, health situations where pregnancy might make those worse. Doesn't the Eighth Amendment have an impact on those cases?
Well, the Eighth Amendment has never prevented me in my practice or my colleagues from protecting a woman's life or her health. I think it's very difficult to calibrate what percentage of risk. I think risk is a clinical assessment, and it doesn't run along a straight line. It's not a calibration straight line. I think it can be 2 to 3 points on a curve, and I think you can discuss the clinical scenario with your consultant colleagues in anesthesia, haematology, microbiology, and make an appropriate intervention that's right for the patient. You will, of course, do your best for the baby, and that may involve pediatric involvement. It may involve giving the baby or giving the mother steroids to turn on the surfactant in the lungs.
Trevor, you have worked in other countries. Has there been a big difference in terms of the maternal care in other places that you've worked in? What's been your experience there?
Well, I've worked in Scotland and I've worked in Bath in the United Kingdom. I think the Scottish people are very like ourselves. We're Celtic, you know, and they have similar values. Ireland is a fabulous place to have a baby. Ireland is safe. I know. I'm in there every second, third night. I'm working with brilliant midwives. We have embraced risk management, clinical governance. We have brought in drills for obstetric emergencies. Unfortunate tragedy of Civita has brought in the IMUSE protocols for sepsis. IMUSE is it's a scorecard where the nurse monitors the patient's pulse, blood pressure, temperature, and if you get certain colours, it prompts a protocol to call the doctor. And the doctor then will do assessment of the patient at the end of the bed and will do blood analysis and then bring in the senior doctors.
I know, Trevor, that there's been various reports after the death of Savita Halappanavar, and one of the recommendations was that guideline which you talk about. But still, it has been said that the Eighth Amendment certainly played a role in her death.
It did play a role, but it didn't play a major role. I mean, there was 3 independent reports, HSE, HICWA and the coroners, and they all concluded that it was a result of medical mismanagement and the lack of recognition of sepsis. It was a perfect storm, unfortunately, where a young woman died, a husband lost his wife, and it was a tragedy for Irish obstetrics and a tragedy for the hospital involved.
What should have happened?
The recognition of sepsis should have been made, and she should have been resuscitated with fluid and given appropriate antibiotics, and she should have went to theatre, and her uterus should have been emptied, because it was an inevitable miscarriage, and you don't have to be worried about a fetal heartbeat. You can go ahead and do a surgical intervention.
Have you ever had that situation? And that's something where that we again often hear, well, if there's the presence of a fetal heartbeat, that is going to stop you from caring for the woman.
I've been in that situation, and I'm a magnificent advocate of the unborn child, and I've had to swallow hard, but I've had to save that mother, and I've had to lose that child.
So the fetal heartbeat wouldn't stop you from carrying out particular interventions?
No.
Trevor, is it possible, because we've heard from obstetricians who have opinions on both sides in advance of this referendum, is it possible that we can have 2 models for dealing with pregnancy? You know, one for gynaecologists and obstetricians who are prepared to carry out abortions, and others who on the grounds of conscience won't have to do that and will stick to the 2-patient model.
It would be a shame to split the speciality, because with recruitment and retention, we have a unique experience of being involved in surgical for gynaecology and medicine in obstetrics together with some psychiatry and counselling. And the 2-patient model makes a better obstetrician. I'm convinced the 2-patient model increases the value of that obstetrician and gives a better care to the mother and the unborn baby.
In terms of practically how it will work, and maybe you can draw on your experience from Scotland and living in Bath as well, where surgical intervention is needed, who is going to carry out these abortions? Have consultants and obstetricians been consulted about the practicalities of how it will work in Irish hospitals?
They haven't, and there's been no plans real made, and nor have there been any consultation with the GPs. Not at all. I think it's been rushed through.
What about a lot of the sad situations we've been hearing about Trevor are situations where before a baby is born that they are diagnosed with a life-limiting condition, a condition that says this baby will probably not survive for very long. And many of those families feel that the government has turned their back on them in these situations. How do you feel as an obstetrician in these situations?
It's extremely difficult. And obviously, these exceptional cases. The problem with the proposed legislation is it doesn't take care of these exceptional cases on their own. It, in effect, you would lose 97% of normal babies from normal mothers, as well as the 2 to 3% that have cases with rape, incest and fatal fetal abnormality. And that's a tragedy that we can't allow.
Have you ever seen an abortion?
Yeah, I was working in Scotland. I was an SHO. I was just in the country a week and I was in theatre and I was a bit naive. I hadn't realised what a TOP was and I felt embarrassed to ask.
What is a TOP?
A termination of pregnancy. And the procedure started and I had a visceral pain in my stomach and I had a sensation of vomit in my pharynx and I had to run to the sluice room as the vomit was coming out of my tunic. I had seen the baby's hand and that for me was clarity. This is dreadful. We can't allow this.
As we've discussed today, there's different opinions from different obstetricians on this particular issue. What does the evidence say, Trevor, in terms of the statistics on maternal care in this country?
Well, maternal care is safe in this country. We are joint six. Maternal morbidity mortality stats show that Ireland is punching well at its own weight level.
What's maternal morbidity? Because that's a phrase people might have heard. They might understand maternal mortality, but what's the difference between mortality as opposed to morbidity?
So morbidity is how it affects your health.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Irish healthcare is under pressure. We have waiting lists, we have funding issues, we have beds in corridor. If you bring in terminations, you can't put these on a waiting list. So they're going to impact on the resources within our hospital. You're also going to have major recruitment retention of midwifery staff and of anaesthetic staff and obstetricians. And that would be a tragedy because there should be people in Irish obstetrics that are pro-life. There should be a capability for them to work. It should be a capability for them to have conscientious objection. And my concern is conscientious objection can be eroded and it has been eroded in Scandinavian countries. And a recent conscientious objection was with two midwives in Glasgow.
The final question is, I suppose, is that many people would say what we've got right now, something has to change. We can't just keep the status quo. So if the Eighth Amendment stays in the Constitution, what happens next? What do you propose we do, especially for those difficult circumstances that we've talked about?
Well, I see no, not as an end in itself, but as a new beginning. I think we have to go back to the drawing board and I think we have to get some alteration to the amendment for the exceptional cases. I also believe that the government should stop trying to dupe the public and own up and care for women. I think the Irish government has to provide funding, has to provide housing, has to provide sex education, free contraception, and it has to give grants to women for the capital expenditure when their baby is born, and it has to provide an infrastructure of money towards families with the birth of a baby with Down syndrome. They should have instant medical cards. They should have access to ophthalmology, ENT.
Trevor, I just wanted to ask your professional opinion on something that hasn't been discussed too much, which is the proposal allowing abortion up to 12 weeks. How developed is a baby at 12 weeks?
well, the baby has all its functional organs at 12 weeks. If you, I mean, for me personally, life begins at conception, but you have a heart in a rudimentary tube at 22 days. Now, hearts are very important for humanity because a heart is one of the central core parts of our emotions. And you have a heart, and when you die in your deathbed, a doctor signs a death cert and the heart is no longer there. So it's a continuum of life. I mean, for me, 12 weeks, this baby's fully formed. It yawns, it kicks. And there has been some controversy about yawning. And the controversy is because a yawn is a facial expression, and a facial expression brings humanity to the baby.
Trevor, for those who are listening to voices on both sides, it's quite confusing. As an obstetrician, what would your message be then to voters as they walk into the ballot box on Friday?
Well, I would urge people to vote no. And I would like that no, that is an end to itself for a new beginning, and encourage the Irish government to own up and provide some funding for Irish women. If indeed it's a yes, it becomes a medical and legal instrument for excising the only rights of the unborn child.
Consultant obstetrician Dr. Trevor Hayes, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.